Testing, everyone can hear me, I hope. Appreciate everyone coming today. The session that we're going to be presenting today is Anyone Can Build a SharePoint App with Microsoft Access. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Jeff Conrad, and with me today is my co-presenter, Chris. Both of us work on the test team as part of the Access development team, and what we want to do is talk to you about SharePoint apps built with Microsoft Access. We have still have a lot of people coming in to the room, so we still want to get started on time. We have a lot to cover. We're going to leave about roughly 10 to 15 minutes of time at the end for questions. So if you have a question as we're going along, just jot it down to yourself, and we'll make sure to cover that at the end. We'll allow enough time for that. Let's get right to our session. What we want to do is introduce you to Access 2013, SharePoint 2013, Office 365, essentially how all of this works together, if you're not familiar with it. We want to teach you about learning to make data-centric apps with Access 2013. If you notice in Jeff Tepper's keynote address, he even mentioned Access. Access is a very important part of the Office 365 app development story now, which may surprise some of you if you're familiar with Access desktop applications. The great thing, hopefully you can take away from this, is that end users can create apps. And this doesn't have to be a pro developer. This doesn't have to be somebody that's even writing code. We essentially have made it so that anyone can literally write an Access web app. If you're familiar with Access desktop applications, Access has been around for over 20 years on the client. We essentially revolutionized desktop applications. But as you see some of these things flying up on the screen right now, and I saw some of you shaking your heads to some of these, Access desktop applications do essentially have some inherent problems in terms of IT. IT doesn't always like Access because we have MDB files, ActDB files all throughout the organization. Who's using these? Are these being backed up? How many of these are mission critical? It can be a little bit of an IT nightmare for actually managing these. So that leads us obviously to the next inevitable question. Why would you want to use Access to create a SharePoint app? That's an excellent question. We're going to answer that for you for the next hour. We have two main parts of Access. If you want to think about it, it's two products in one, essentially, now. We still have all of the Access desktop functionality there. It's used by millions of people. There's millions of applications out there. These are typically stored on local file folders or within server shares. Some of these are actually connecting up to other data sources as well. You have the full, rich functionality of VBA. All of that still exists. All of that's still there. We're not talking about that today. We're going to be talking about the other important developments that we've been doing. We've been trying to essentially now revolutionize Access for the web app world, what we did for the desktop world. Because of this, we're actually having to make a big shift. Now all of our data is directly on top of SQL. If you create an Access web app on top of SharePoint 2013 or Office 365, your data is in a full SQL database. If it's on-prem, it's in a local SQL 2012 database or higher. If it's Office 365, it's going to be in SQL Azure. And it's accessible from any browser. You don't necessarily need Access to run the application. It's a big departure. You needed Access to design the application for desktop apps and to run it. But for our web apps, you only need Access to design them. All of your users of the app will just use their web browser. All of the main supported web browsers. All this week, you're going to hear the word apps constantly. So this is just, for this slide, kind of discuss two big key components with apps as they interrelate with Access. You have apps for SharePoint and apps for Office. Access is a SharePoint app now. You can design it, and you can create it and use it within a web browser. We have another related session tomorrow afternoon with some new functionality that is just coming online. Everything we're going to show you in this session is you can use right now. The session tomorrow is going to be talking about how you can actually package up an Access web app as a SharePoint app and sell it in the SharePoint store, as well as you can actually use it for upgrading. You have version 1, version 2. All that's going to be in tomorrow's session. The other key part is apps for Office. Apps for Office have been in existence for a while, roughly about a year, I think. Some of the other Office programs can consume apps for Office, and we're pleased to announce you can actually consume these within Access web apps now. And we have a session on Thursday in the afternoon that will talk to you about that. This one has all the nice cool stuff, graphs, charts, heat maps, all that kind of stuff. You can use that within Access Web Apps. I don't know if you mentioned during Jeff Tepper's keynote where he was talking about the whole developer spectrum. We essentially have power user on one end. We have pro developer on the other end. We are essentially targeting Access right at that far left side. We essentially want the power user. Certainly, a more pro developer could use and actually design an Access web app, and they could probably add even more functionality than the typical power user. But our target that we're really trying to hit for this release is actually that power user, somebody that as long as they can have access to a SharePoint site, they should be able to create and design Access web apps easily. For the pro developer, they can use other tool sets. For apps for Office, they can use Napa to actually design an app for Office. You can't design an app for Office with Access, but Access web apps can consume them. And we see not usually the power user actually designing those. We see those at the other end of the spectrum. And obviously at the very far end, we have the pro developers using Visual Studio. They can create apps for SharePoint. They can create apps for Office. But primarily our design surface for our Access web apps is at the power user side. On this slide, we essentially have the virtues of simple and structured when we think of Access web app design, as well as development and tool sets. In the upper left corner, the simple, we have some good things about that. A great example of low upfront investment and easy adoption is Excel. Most everybody can easily add a column to Excel. They don't need to call the IT department or a pro dev to do that. But there's some downsides to the simple approach that can be difficult to analyze if you're passing around stuff, which version of the truth is correct. And then on the other far side, we have the full structured. This is the type of things where you're having a full big investment on creating some applications. Usually it's very costly, a lot of time involvement. There's a lot of training sometimes for actually using these particular apps. They're very powerful. Access is trying to get right in that sweet spot. We want to actually take the simple side of things, but also have the benefits of the structured. We're baked right into SharePoint. We're baked right into SQL Server. But we have a design surface that is very easy to create, easy to design, and easy to use for end users. The first demo we're going to show you, Chris is going to actually show you this. He's going to create a SharePoint app in roughly about 60 seconds. And I say roughly because he's going to be talking along the way. But he's going to actually create a SharePoint app very quickly, essentially just using a table template.
Thanks, Jeff. So to start out, we're going to start at a very familiar spot, homepage on a SharePoint site. Now, because Access apps are also SharePoint apps, we're going to add an Access app the same way we'd add any other SharePoint app. We're going to go to the Add Apps list. And there's a couple templates that we have in here, but we also, by searching for Access directly, can just bring up the generic template, just a blank app. And this app we're going to create today is for tracking assets, specifically the computer assets on our team. So we're going to go ahead and give this a name of assets. And you notice also in this dialog, we provide a link for uploading an app package. That's actually if you have an app package that you've already made, you can save it and then redeploy it to a different SharePoint site. And we'll cover some of that later. But right now, it's going to go ahead and create this app. Now, the scenario that we really have today is our admin for our team. She's been tracking our computer assets in Excel. Now, Excel is a great way to very quickly get started for tracking something like assets. All you have to do is just set up a couple columns and start typing in the data. But there are some limitations. For one, she can't really have other people enter the data in because she doesn't want everyone to see everyone else's assets. So people will complain about having faster machines. Also, having the same version of the truth, whether that app is, the Access, the Excel file is copied to different shares back and forth. So we think that Access is the perfect solution for this. So now that the Assets app is created, we're going to open it up. And what it first brings us to is this blank page. We haven't added any tables to it, so it just provides us with a message that congratulations, you're now able to start designing this Access app. To start designing the Access app, we have to open it up in the Access client. And to do that, we're going to go to the settings term up in the corner here, and we're provided with two options. One is to add an app for Office. As Jeff mentioned, we're going to have some other sessions which talk more about that. But for now, we're just going to customize this app in Access. So we're going to open it up. And because this is all hosted online right now, it's going to bring down a local copy of the forms that we've just created and all the settings for the app. And I brought to this add table page. Now, this add table page provides with three options for adding a table. For one, we can just start with a completely blank table and we can define the schema from scratch. We also can import from other sources such as Access, Excel, but we know we want to track assets. And we've provided some templates built into Access, so we're just going to go ahead and search for assets. And when we search for assets, we actually have multiple templates to come back with, whether you're tracking home inventory, employees, auctions, but we're just going to go ahead and select the generic assets template for now. And right now, it's going to go ahead and create and apply that schema and actually going to create the tables for you. I'm not sure if you noticed, but on the left-hand pane, it's already created these tables and also gives us a preview of how it looks. We're just going to go ahead and launch it in the browser. And it's going to open everything up. And right there, we already have a fully functioning web app in about 60 seconds. Backends in SQL, great-looking views, and you're done.
Wow. Okay, didn't expect the applause, but thank you very much. That's great. I'm glad you're excited about it. Now, just do a quick recap of what happened behind the scenes. Did you see him write any code? Nope. All he did is he just created a custom web app. He started from the SharePoint UI. In this case, you can also start from Access. There is an entry point within Access client to start creating the app. But for this demo, we just started from the SharePoint UI. Most everybody can find the site contents page and add an app. All he did is he just provided a name, and then he downloaded it into Access client, and he searched for some of our table templates. You certainly do not have to use our table templates. You can start from scratch. You can import some data. All of those options are available. But the table templates can give you that option of getting started quickly. You can then make customizations to those table templates. But right within a very short amount of time, he was up and ready to go and had an app working in the browser. There was no data, of course, but he could immediately start typing. There was views for it. There was controls. And there's a lot of complexity behind the scenes. So let's dive in a little bit more about that complexity. As I mentioned earlier, the runtime is the web browser. So you design in Access. Your runtime is within the web browser. You're starting with the Access client, either from the design standpoint, or you can use the SharePoint UI and then click Customize. Behind the scenes, we have Access Services. That is a service running on top of SharePoint 2013. Or in Office 365, of course. Behind the scenes, Access Services is doing a lot for you. It's handling all of the forms, the JavaScript, all that functionality. It's hooking up within SharePoint, all the permissions, everything that's going on behind the scenes. You don't need to know anything about HTML. You don't need to know anything about JavaScript. You don't need to know anything about SQL Server, because behind the scenes, we've provisioned a SQL database. Now, what Chris just showed, a new SQL Azure database has been provisioned in that short amount of time. We've hooked it up as a SharePoint app, and we're inheriting all the permissions from the base site contents page. All of that seamless to you. All he did was just create a very quick Access web app. So Access client creates all those objects, the views that you create. You're going to probably hear us interchangeably use the word view and form. They're essentially the same thing. Think of a view as a form. The web browser is then going to consume that, everything that you're designing. Your entire application, everything about it, is actually stored within SQL. And by that, I mean all the objects, the system objects, your tables that you create, all the data, everything about that application is actually stored in that SQL database. If you're on-prem, it's actually going to be stored in a local install of SQL 2012 or higher. That is a massive amount of complexity, but as Chris said, and as Chris noted, there's no code that's needed to be written there or even have to learn all of that. We essentially have three big components of our Access web apps. We have the new app model, we obviously have the SharePoint deployment, and of course we have the SQL backend. So let's dive into that first one a little bit more. We have the existing table templates, and you can use those to get a jump start. And within a very short amount of time, you can create that SharePoint app. You don't have to be a professional developer to do this. You don't need to have to store a local file on disk somewhere or in a share. All of that is stored within up in SharePoint. And whenever you create a new table, whether it's from scratch, a table template, or you import, we're going to build two forms, views, for you for each table, just as a quick way to get started. rather than the traditional desktop where you had to create a table, then you had to create your forms, we're going to give you a jump start by giving you essentially two forms for each. We'll show you those in just a minute. You get a nice, polished, professional result out of this. The UI was very easy to use. It's very approachable. There were some other elements that Chris is going to show next. The second big part of our story is that SharePoint. We are fully baked into SharePoint. We're right within the site contents app page UI. We have the same cross-browser support. We can take advantage of Active Directory. We can take advantage of the app catalog and the SharePoint store. And one of the best things, IT has the central control over it. We're now friends with IT. Access desktop apps typically aren't friends with IT, but IT should be jumping on board with this because everything is under essentially IT's control. Because we're also part of SharePoint, we can just consume and actually use the site themes. If you're familiar with SharePoint site themes, we'll just inherit that. I'll actually show you that in a little bit. The third big piece is the SQL backend, and this was a tremendous amount of work for our team. I would say a good portion of our team last release was trying to make this change, to have everything on top of SQL. So when you're creating tables and you're designing queries and you're designing forms, you're writing macros, all of that is actually creating SQL objects in the background. But the design surface should be very approachable for you. With SQL, because it's on top of Access Services with SQL Azure, you can get that connection information and you can use that from other tool sets. I can use Excel and then report on the data that's in there. I could use PowerView. I could actually use SQL Server Management Studio, give the connection information, and open up and see everything about the objects there for you pro developers if you really want to see what we're doing behind the scenes. But ideally, everything should be behind that curtain for you. In this next demo, you only saw Chris just very quickly create that app. Now he's just going to show you a little bit more about the runtime, essentially what you can see in the browser and everything that you essentially get for free. All he did was by creating an app.
Thanks, Jeff. So this app that we're showing now is actually the same app that I just created. We've just added some data so that we can be able to more effectively show you the runtime. So starting off from the left-hand side of the screen, we're seeing that we have a list of three different tables. The new way you're going to navigate around these apps is you'd first select a table, and then you select a view by the view selector we have at the top here. And you notice for this assets table, we have three different views. We have a list view, a datasheet view, and a summary view that summarizes the information by category. And we'll get to those other two views in a second, but let's stick on this list view. Now, the list view is split into two main parts. One is the list that we see here, and the other part is the details pane. So the list here, we have a list of items. And you notice as I click to each different item in the list that the details changes to correspond with that item. No, this is coded up. It just happens automatically. Now, a lot of times when you have a list and you start entering a lot of data, it's very hard to find the exact item you want in the list. So we've added a filter box at the top. For example, our admin wants to know how many surfaces we have in our team. So just types in the word surface, hits the enter button, and just like that, we filter your results, so you just see the information you want. Now, you are noticing that surface isn't the title here. Well, we're not only limited to the title. We can actually search by any of the different fields you see over in the details pane. So, for example, we want to find all the machines that are in good condition. Not the newest, not the oldest, but just kind of good. And you notice those same surfaces that as before showed up, but also the Z400. And if we wanted to see all the data again, we just remove the filter, and we see it all again. Go over to the details section. Next thing you may notice is this action bar. These buttons here allow us to provide the standard add, delete, edit operations. So let's go ahead and edit this record. You notice as I click the edit button, we actually dynamically enable and disable the buttons on the action bar that you can use at that time. Again, no code added. We just built this in for you. Also, all the controls just change from a view mode to an edit mode. So you now can see many text boxes. We have multi-line text boxes, even combo boxes. So let's go ahead and start editing this comment right here. Just add the word comment. And you notice as I typed in here, the save button became enabled because we know that the record's been dirty and you now might want to save it. So we enable that for you. In addition to all the standard text fields, combo boxes, we've also added a lot of formatting options. For example, this date field over here. We select it, and we notice that this little icon comes up over here for the date picker. Because we're built into SharePoint, we can take advantage of a whole lot of SharePoint's features built right into our apps. Again, no code added. We just give you this. The currency field as well will actually inherit the currency values and the currency formatting from SharePoint directly, so it'll come out in the correct locale. In addition, we also have a really great control that we, on the team at least, love to talk about and use. This control is kind of a mix of a text box, search box, combo box all together. So for this category of this item, let's say that we wanted to actually select a different category for it, but we didn't know the full name of the category. We just knew that there was letter E in it, for example. Type in the letter E, and it gives us the results back of the different categories. We didn't have to know the whole thing. We just type in a letter, and it gives us the list, and we can then select, and it completes the rest of it for us, thus the autocomplete. Now, this one in particular is laptop, so let's change this back to a laptop. And you notice, again, I just type in the letter L, and it brings up laptop as one of the results. Now, if the option wasn't in here, we can actually click this Add New Item button, and we can actually add an item directly here in a built-in pop-up. When we save it, the value will be set right back on the control. Again, no code added. We just give you this built-in. I'm going to go ahead and save this record. And we actually get a toast notification from SharePoint that the record's been saved, another great feature of being built on top of SharePoint. Now that we've talked a lot about this list, let's go to the datasheet. Datasheet is going to be your standard grid view. Great way to see all your records at the same time. You can be able to highlight rows and delete rows all the time if you like. We allow you to resize columns if the data will not fit. Also, we allow you to sort and filter the items as well. Next is summary view. Summary view looks kind of like the list view, except we're summarizing the view into groups. So for example, all the desktop computers now show up in a list here. I've seen all the records that are corresponding to the desktop computer category. Same with the laptops. When you see each of these items here, you see a list of a few of the details on them. If you want to see all the details, all you have to do is click. Opens up a pop-up directly in context. Doesn't take you out of context. No code's needed for this. It allows you to see it right there. Now, there's one more control I'd really like to show you guys. It's what we like to call the related items control. It shows all the items that are related to the current item that you're looking at. So, for example, we're in the categories table here in the list view, and we're looking at the desktop computer item. Well, this control shows us all the items that are desktop computers related to this. We switch to keyboards. If there were any, it would show us there. Laptops, it shows us the laptops. We select any of the items in the list, and again, we get that same great pop-up. We can go ahead and edit this data if we'd like. No code's needed for all this. It's all built in for you. It keeps you right in context so you don't get lost of where you are on the app. And in fact, we've even added an add button. So you have a desktop computer that you want to add. All you have to do is click this Add Assets button, and we actually fill in the category field here for you because we know you're adding it to a desktop computer. Again, you could save this, and it takes you right back in the same context. Now, that's a whole lot of stuff, so let's kind of go over what we all just talked about. So to start off, this is the view you're brought to when you just open up the app. And you notice on the left-hand side, you have a table to choose. You choose a table, and it gives you a list of views to choose from, whether it's a list view, a data sheet view, just depending on how you want to see your data at the time. We also, in the list view, give you a list of items, which provides some great search functionality. We actually give you two fields, both a primary field and a secondary field. You can even add an icon to this as well if you have an image attached to the record. Then we also have the details pane, including that great action bar. So the autocomplete control, a great combination of a text box, a combo box, some search functionality built in that you don't really have to know everything about what you're searching for, but we'll help you out along the way. Datasheet view, very familiar to most people, anyone using Excel. It's got a lot of great functionality. The drill through pop-ups, you select an item, and it brings a pop-up open for you on so many areas of the app. And you don't have to code these pop-ups up, we just give them to you. The summary view, great way to summarize a lot of your data. The related items control, great way to be able to see the data that's related to what you're currently looking at, and then you can even drill deeper into it by selecting an item. And then the action bar, that allows you to provide your add, your edit, your delete operations, and we dynamically enable and disable the options for you so people won't try to perform invalid operations. So now that we've talked about a lot of the ways that you can be able to use the app, let's talk about a little more how you can design the app.
Thank you, Chris. So I just want to reiterate what he showed you there. That was the exact same app. We just added in a little bit of data. We did nothing else to that app that he just showed you in the runtime. The action bar stuff, all those controls, the pop-ups, everything that's happening, the different views. We didn't do anything special there. Access just gave us that for free. So what I wanted to do is walk you through a little bit of the design experience. This is going to be fast and furious. There's a lot to cover here, so I want to just show you, in brief, a lot of the things that you can do with the Access web app as far as the design surface. So this is the exact same app that Chris was just showing. It's just open within client. We have an HTML page here rendering right within Access client. And so if I click on one of these, this is the tables. The views that will show on the right side are the views that are attached to this. We sometimes call this the table selector, and there's different properties that you can use for these. Just clicking one of the charm buttons, view data will open up a data sheet view right within client. So you can actually see a data sheet view of the data right within client here. Edit table, I'll show you that in just a few minutes, what the table design surface looks like. But this will just open up that table in design view. I'm going to click the hide option. I don't know if you saw that from the back of the room, but it Access dimmed the font for that one and moved it to the bottom of the list. If you hide a table, that won't show in the runtime in the browser. So imagine if you have like some admin tables or some other many-to-many type tables, you didn't want to surface those. You can hide those. You can still use them within the app, but you won't see them in the browser. So I'm just going to click unhide so I can see it again. You can reorder by just simple drag and drop. If you want to rename, this will rename just the caption. And that's just the caption right here. That's not going to rename the actual table behind the scenes. I saw some people nodding their head there. That's good. Delete, obviously, is exactly what it's going to do. It's going to delete the table. If you have related tables, it's probably going to prevent you, depending upon if you have relationships set up. This other charm button is for formatting. We can select a different icon. By default, we give you that star icon. But if you wanted to choose a different icon for each of your tables, you can easily do that here. As I mentioned earlier, when I clicked, there's different views that will show, and we'll show a preview of each of those. I want to switch, though, up into the ribbon. On the Home tab, the Launch app does exactly what it does. It will open up your default web browser. No, it won't open up IE if that's not your default web browser. But it will open up your default web browser, and so you can immediately see the app. The Table button toggles the Add Tables screen, which you've seen a couple of times now. So this is your entry point for adding some more table templates, creating a new table, a blank one. There's a link right over there if you can see it. That will open up a new table design with just an ID field, and then you can define your own table schema. And you can also import and start getting your data in from other sources. The View button essentially just is clicking this plus button over here. It's just another entry point. This is where you create a new view or form, as you want to use the terminology, attached to that table. So all we need from you is a view name. Then you can choose from one of our four view types. You've seen three of them. You've seen the summary view, you've seen the list view, and the data sheet view. The other one that was in that list was blank. Think of blank as just like a blank canvas. We're just going to give you a white space. There's not going to be any action bar buttons on there. You can use those for data bound or not. You could have like a message box used for that. Or if you data bind it, we're going to show one record at a time. But you have to build in your own navigation for the blank view. And that last option is just what the record source, and you can have tables or queries here. Under the Advanced button, I'll spend a little bit more time here. Here's where some of the other more pro-devy type of objects that you can create. The query is the same query designer that you're familiar with Access Client. It's just been slightly changed to only show objects and options that will work with Access web apps. You can do joins on multiple tables, you can have aggregate queries, you can do criteria, you can have parameters, sorting, all that kind of good stuff in queries. If you're choosing one of these three view options from the advanced, this will actually create what we call a standalone view. That view won't be hooked up and displayed along the view selector here. It'll exist in the navigation pane, and in order to open those, you have to use a macro to open those, like open pop-up. The macro option here will create a new standalone web macro. And this will create a macro that you could call from other macros, view events, view control events as well. and that can be called from multiple places. I do want to just click the data macro option here really quick. The data macro in this particular entry point is going to create, wait for it, a SQL stored procedure. Unbelievable. Come on. All right. No way. Thank you. Thank you very much. So essentially behind the scenes here, you're just going to create a set of actions here. I don't need to know T-SQL. I don't need to know anything about SQL Server. All I need to do is just select one of our actions and some of the most common ones, create record, lookup record, a for each record loop. I can have different actions associated with these, different arguments. I can pass parameters. And these are actually going to get translated when you click save up into SQL Server as a SQL stored procedure with full transactional support. So it's either all going to work or it's all not going to work. Right up on the top here, we also have an entry point for data macro tracing. If you turn that on, we'll actually create a tracing table so you can help debug your data macro logic if something's not working quite right. You can turn that on, and then you can click the View button, and that will actually open it in the web browser. So you can actually see just kind of a step list of what's happening, what's going on. If you're doing like a for each record, you can see the where clause, what ID it's going off of. Very powerful stuff here for the data macros, but you don't need to know T-SQL or any code. We'll just take care of all that for you. The last option under Advanced is OnStart macro. That's kind of a special UI macro. That will run once when you browse to the app or whenever you refresh the browser. If you're familiar with Access Desktop apps, think of this as the AutoExec macro. It will run whenever you browse or you opened up the app. This is a great place to define global variables that you want to use throughout the life of your app there. The navigation pane, oh my goodness, look at that. We're actually showing the navigation pane right here within the Access web app. This is the objects that the table template created for us. As we create more tables, queries, web macros, data macros, those will actually just show up here in the navigation pane. We hide it by default because our typical user doesn't necessarily need to know that. But for you pro devs, if you want to open up the navigation pane, all the options that you see for like right click, those match to the other options that are already there. So I'm going to go ahead and show you a little bit more about the views themselves. When I select a view, there's some options for here as well. Open in browser, we'll open up your default browser and actually navigate to that specific view. Just a little shortcut so you can just go, you make some changes, click save, you can immediately just go up to the browser. Edit, we'll actually show you that in just a minute. That will edit the design of this view. Rename, I'm going to change this name to asset list. And this is just changing the caption here. It's not changing the name of the object, the actual form behind the scenes. I could reorder these if I wanted to, very easily, just dragging and drop. And on some of the other options that you'll see, the preview will show different options for the specific one that you're on. Duplicate is a special type of thing. Duplicate will actually create an identical copy of this view with a new name. So if you think of duplicate, if you have a view that you've spent a lot of time on, but maybe you just want to have another different record source for it, you can just make duplicate a second copy and just assign a different record source to it. This is a great way to just actually build out different views that are essentially the same. Delete will actually delete this from the view selector and actually from the navigation pane. So I'm going to go ahead and click edit. This is our design surface for the views. This is actually an HTML page that we're downloading right from the server and displaying it right within the Win32 client here. This is a list control that's part of the list view. And so as I select that, there's some properties I can set. I can set the primary, secondary. If I had an image in this particular table, I could put a thumbnail in there. What do I want to sort by in here, whether it's ascending or descending? Simple drag and drop. I can easily resize this a little bit if I'd like. Depending upon the controls that you select here, we'll light up some of the formatting options up here on the ribbon. The controls that you can use on Access Web Apps, we have the traditional ones, the text box, label. You can drop a command button on and add some UI macro logic to display a message or open up something. We have the web browser control where you can drop that on and display some web content just using a URL. The combo box is just your traditional drop-down list. Checkbox, that's a pretty fascinating one. Yes, no. Image is a really nice one to display images, and I'll show you how to do this in just a second. The autocomplete control, Chris spent a little bit of time showing you that. That's a really nice control. It's kind of like a hybrid type of text box, search, all built in one. You get drill through. You don't have to do a lot for that particular kind of control. We get you that for free. Hyperlink control, of course. The subview control, think of that as, you know, if I want to drop another view inside this view and have like a parent-child relationship, orders, order details, I can have that. So I could have a list view up at the top and maybe a data sheet view of order details below and link that up using link master, link child. We have the multi-line text box, and then the last control is that related items control. Chris showed that earlier, where it's essentially, think of it like, I describe it as like a tab control with subviews kind of beneath it, where you can see the records. You can toggle the field pane on the right by just clicking this button up here. For the default views that we give you the five built-in action bar buttons. I can delete these if I don't want them. I can hide them through UI macros. I can't change the logic of these five. These are baked in. But I could choose to define my own custom action bar button and hook up my own logic here using the on click, and I could select from one of the icons we have available. Resizing controls is very easy, as I can move things around. Things just kind of bump around. I can easily just drag and drop to different sizes, and things move around as well. And as soon as I let go, it essentially just snaps to that grid. I can select multiple controls by just lassoing, and I'm just using arrow keys here to move the whole group around. Very easy. Each control, depending upon which control that you select, will display different options for these property callouts here. I'm on a text box right now, and so some of the properties that you see here, I can do control name, control source, I can set a default value. So different formatting options. I can choose to hide this control if I want, enable it. I can add an input hint as well. And these options will vary depending upon if you're using a label or a command button. The lightning bolt one is the actions that you can define. So for a text box, you can have an on-click or after update. Let me just click into the after update. This is a very similar design surface for the data macro surface that I showed you earlier, but with the UI macro logic, we're actually going to show actions that are more UI specific. Your basic insert operations, saving records, you can re-query, open pop-ups. Again, macro logic, I don't need to know anything about JavaScript. We're actually going to translate that all for you. But it's very approachable for the power user. I'm just going to close that. When you select the view itself off the grid here, there's some other options specifically for the view itself. Think of these, if you're an Access desktop person, think of these as just for the form itself. So here's where the record source is. I can choose to hide the entire action bar if I don't want to show the action bar. I can give it a caption if I want. And we have two events for the view itself, on load and on current, your traditional type of ones. Whenever that view loads, if you want to run some macro logic, you can do that. On current will fire every time you go to a new record. So that's the design surface so far in a very quick roundabout way of showing you various things. But for our particular scenario, back to our story, our team admin is tracking our assets. You'd really like to have a picture of the assets in there so people can actually, our engineers can figure out what it is. So I'm going to go into the table designer now. Here's the existing fields that we have for the assets table. I'm just going to add a new field called picture. And these are the data types: short text, long text, number, date, time, currency, yes, no, hyperlink, image, calculate, and lookup. I want an image field. These are actually going to create SQL data types behind the scenes. Depending upon the field type that you select, you'll see different options at the bottom of the table designer. You can decide whether this is a required field, if you want to index it. Up on the top on the ribbon, you can define compound indexes if you want, multiple across different fields. You can define validation rules at the table level as well as the field level. And I do want to call out these three events here, the on insert, on update, on delete. These will get translated into triggers behind the scenes. So you can actually imagine if you had a field that you wanted to change and you wanted to go change a field in another table whenever that record is updated. You can easily do that right in these three events. So I'm just going to save that picture field. And behind the scenes, this has actually created a new field in the SQL table. I don't have it displayed on my view yet, so I can just open up the view again, and right on the field list, I see my new field right there. I'm just going to drag it in. Access helpfully gave me a label if I want. In this case, I'll just go ahead and delete it. I like to make the picture just maybe a little bit bigger for our engineers. Some of our engineers need glasses. Not looking at you, Gary. So, I've made some changes. I'm just going to switch back up to the web browser. It doesn't look like I added anything, but if you notice, I do have the new icon for the assets table. I have the new caption here. There is this new custom action bar button. I didn't add any logic to it. So I'm going to type surface. Let's go back to that surface example. Click edit, and now I can see that control. I didn't have any data, so I didn't see anything in view mode. So I'm going to click add. I do have a surface image right on my desktop here. I'll go ahead and insert that. So again, I don't have to know a lot about SQL. I don't have to know a lot about triggers, T-SQL, any type of things. I can very easily and quickly add and design this app within a design surface that I'm familiar with. And very quickly, I can have the image showing up right within Access. So that's a whirlwind type of thing, at least with the designer. But another great thing that we can take advantage of is the site themes. This is a custom site theme that Chris here designed for one of our sub-sites. I don't know if you can see that in the background. It's kind of dark. But we actually have another copy of this app in there. And this is what that app looks like within that SharePoint site theme. I don't need to know anything about CSS. We just will inherit that site theme. If you can see, that's actually a picture in the background of the Access team at one of our team events. We were having some fun at one of the go-kart tracks. We do have some fun once in a while. But all the colors that you see here, this is just inheriting from the SharePoint site theme. Whatever site theme you have at the parent site, we're just going to inherit that. It's very, very nice. Now, let me just switch gears to essentially a full-baked type of app. This is the actual app that our team admin is using today to actually track. She's gone in and just made a little bit more customizations. She's actually hidden a lot of the extra admin tables. And when I navigate to this app, all I see is my records. So these are a list of the assets that I have in my office. I have nice pictures. I have some custom action bar buttons. And all of that is easily designed by essentially a power user. So that's quite a bit to go over in just a short amount of time. But let me just do a quick recap of that. You design from within Access by just clicking that gear icon, click the Customize in Access, and then that opens up within Designer. Under that advanced option under the ribbon, that's where most of the entry points for some of the more advanced options for designing queries. You can design standalone pop-up forms using blank views, datasheet views, list views. You can design web macros from there. Where I opened up the list view and I clicked on the macro from there, that logic is actually going to be contained and live within that view. The entry point here for the macro is actually going to make it a standalone one that I could call from multiple places. I can also use data macros and also the OnStart macro. And again, for those of you really comfortable with the navigation pane, you can just toggle that by just clicking the button in the ribbon. For creating those tables, just to reiterate, we have the three ways. You can use the table templates to get a head start. We have, I think, probably close to 100 table templates in there. We have a lot of table templates in there. But you don't have to use those if you don't want. If you want to start from scratch, just click the link for the blank table, and this will actually take you into an empty table designer. And that last option is for all the existing data sources where you can actually import data, and then we can get a jump start on that. So what about migrating existing apps? Imagine if you have an existing Access desktop app with a front end and a back end. You've got the front end separated, the UI. You can import the data from the back end directly into an empty Access web app. And then depending upon how the app was designed, how your tables are structured, you should be able just to link the data right up to the existing front end and still use your full Access front end. All your VBA, your forms, reports, you've just essentially migrated your app to the cloud, and you can still use your Access client. And on top of that, you get a whole web UI right baked within SharePoint, which you can use. So a lot of scenarios that you could do there is you could have only partially some of the stuff that you'd want to surface in the web browser. The other data sources, of course, Access, Excel, you connect to SQL Server and import that data in. Text and CSV, SharePoint list, we want to spend just a little bit more time. That's a special one. In the next demo, Chris is actually going to show you how we can actually consume existing SharePoint list data in the same site content directly into an existing web app.
Thanks, Jeff. So back to our scenario, the admin of our team has started to use this app, and she really would prefer not to have to enter in all of our names one by one, but she has a SharePoint list that she wants to be able to use and use that data in Access. And also, she doesn't want to have to just bring it over one time. She kind of wants to use the SharePoint list for other things as well and want to have this be the one truth for the list of people on our team. So I'm going to show you guys how we can be able to link to this list from inside of our Access app on a constant connection that constantly brings over the data from the list. So you see here in the site, we have this list. And what we're going to do to add this into the Access app is we're going to go to the designer. And now, in the designer, we already have an employees table, so what we need to first do is remove this. Now, before we can remove this table, the assets table currently has a lookup to the employees table, so we need to remove that link first, or else Access will actually prevent us from removing the employees table. So we're going to go ahead, find the owned by field, and remove that. It wants to make sure that we do want to remove it, because once you remove it from there, it's going to remove all the data, and unfortunately, you can't get it back if you do that by mistake.
Yeah, there's no undo there.
Yeah. So we're going to then close the assets table. Go ahead and delete. Just all you have to do is hit the delete key on the keyboard, and it'll work as well. And we ask you again if you're sure you want to delete that table.
Just in case.
So when we have finished deleting the table, we're brought back to the add table screen. And we can go down to the add table from existing data sources and select the SharePoint list. Now we already have our site in which the SharePoint list is already entered in here. So we're just going to go ahead and select an option beneath. Now there's two options for the SharePoint list. One, we can do that one-time import, as we can do with many other data sources. And we can also do this special linking, where we just create a read-only connection of bringing in the data. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next. I'm going to select that we indeed want the employees table. And right now, the Access is going to actually ask us if we want to trust this external data source. Another feature we've built in just to make sure we're only enabling connections that you really want to enable, just to provide some extra security for the apps. So we see that Access has now added this list of employees as a table. And we have to go recreate that lookup from the assets table back to this employees table now. So we can go ahead and edit this table. I'm going to create the assigned to field. And for the type of this field, it's going to be a lookup, specifically a lookup to this other table. I'm going to select the employees table. And by default, it's going to say the last name is going to be the display name. However, we prefer to see the whole name, just in case we have two people on the team who have the same last name. So we're going to go ahead and select the full name as the display field. I'm going to save this table. Now, there's one more thing we do have to do. We do need to now edit the view, so that we can now have this new field show up in the view in a control. So I'm going to go ahead and edit the assets view. We can go ahead and delete the old owned by field, because that corresponds to the old table that no longer exists. So you can go ahead and just tap the delete button with the selected, and it will be removed. And just drag over from the list of fields, the assigned to field, and we're done. We don't need to re-hook up with any code. It's already hooked up for us. I'm going to save it. Close this table and launch again in the browser. Now, this first time we load this app back up, it's going to take a little bit longer than usual to connect to it, because it's going to be authenticating and then actually caching all that data from that SharePoint list. But as soon as it comes up now, we're able to start adding connections again from the assets list to the employees table. So for example, I remember that this ACES Zenbook is Jeff's. So I'm going to go ahead and go to this autocomplete field. And just like we did before, we just type in a J, and it comes back with the list of results. We still have that support built in for this link table. Select Jeff, go ahead and save it, and it's now saved. And just like that, we're able to be able to link to the SharePoint list. Now, just to recap for a second, and to go over a few more details, these connections are read-only. We're not able to write back to the SharePoint list, unfortunately. It's just a one-way data connection. And because of that, we do not have data macro support. Cannot be able to perform data macros on this table. Also, the list must be in the same site collection, because we're inheriting permissions and authentication from SharePoint. That is one limitation. And in addition, the SharePoint list is currently the only external data source that we allow for this type of linking. Now, we've gone through and we've talked about a lot about how to bring the data in. Now, we're going to go and talk a little bit about how through some connections, because we can be able to give you the connection to that great SQL database, we can go ahead and be able to connect through Excel and through SQL Server Management Studio. Jeff?
Perfect. Thank you, Chris. So, you've seen a lot about the runtime aspect. You've seen a lot about, at least very quickly, a lot of the design aspects. But now that our admin is actually using that app, it'd be nice to actually get some reporting on that. So there's different ways that we can get that reporting information. We can actually use the Access client here. But what I want to show you is hooking up with Excel as well as SQL Server. I have the fully baked one, the one that has all the objects and all of the data for our team on there. I click on the File tab, and I can see the site URL where this app is. I can see the server name. This is up on Office 365. I can see the actual database name right within SQL Azure. I'm not going to show you this option, but this Create Reports button, what this will do is create a second instance of Access, a desktop one, linked to all the tables that are in that SQL database, so that way you can build desktop client queries, forms, reports right on top of that. So with one button, it'll just open up and create the connections and link it all up for you. Under the Manage button, this is the one I want to spend a little bit of time on. This is where you can actually open up the firewall rules for the database, as well as open up read-only and read-write connections. So right now, these two options, if I wanted to open it up for any location to actually get that connection information, this will open up the SQL Azure firewall rules. Right now, I do not have enable read-only connection enabled, but once you select this option, the other two options below it will light up, and you can see the read-only connection information, and you can reset that password. I do have the read-write connection turned on, if you can just kind of see that it's highlighted a little bit there. Beneath that one is the read-write connection information. I'll show you that in just a second. I can reset the connection password, and I could disable all connections. For example, if I wanted to just take everything off so that way there's no other connections. But I'm going to click the View Read-Write Connection Information. And this is the actual SQL Server database connection information up on SQL Azure. This is the actual server name, the database name, the username. This is an external writer username. That is the actual password, so I should probably close that really quick so nobody's writing things down. But that is the actual data connection for that. Now, I can take that connection information, then I can open up Excel. All I have to do is just create that connection information. There are quite a few steps involved in this, and so we do have a blog post up on our team blog that will walk you through the steps as far as not only the connection, but what specific SQL driver that you might need for this and all the information that you need to pass in the appropriate places. So we do have a blog post up on our team blog about that. I'm not going to go through all those steps, but this is the connection information is already established. I can click the connections button here, click properties, and I can see all of that information right here. This is live data, and so if I click refresh all, if somebody on our team is actually editing this data right now, which they could be, this information is live, and so I can see on this chart, very easy pivot chart, I can see the total number of assets by the developer team, the program manager team, and the test team. So it looks like the test team is hogging all the resources. I could also use SQL Server Management Studio, give that connection information, and you can see it right here. There's the server name, there's the database name, and here is everything about the app up within SQL Azure. I can see the tables that I've created. There's also the system tables. So for those of you that want to peek behind the curtain, here's everything that's there. This is the actual main inventory table, and so I can easily just write some SQL queries, and I can just see that data right here. If I change the data right now, that would actually change it up in the one place up on SQL Azure. If I refresh my browser, I would see that. So with that connection information, we can utilize lots of different tool sets to actually report on that data. So just a quick recap on that. Manage is where you actually open up the firewall rules, and that's where you actually get that connection information. There are some steps if you want to use Excel to actually get that connection information in there. But that SQL login that you can use with SQL Server Management Studio, any other application can take that SQL connection information, you can connect to that data. And of course, with Excel, you can still use that same information, take that information, and then easily build some pivot tables and pivot charts on top of that. You can connect with anywhere, and you can actually then use these in Excel web services, and you can actually have a web browser inside the Access web app that would actually display that data coming from Excel services. So real brief, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because this is really going to be covered in the session tomorrow, is how to backup, package, and publish. You can export the data through Access Client using this technique. You can save your app as an app package, and that's actually a SharePoint app package. You can install it up on another SharePoint site. You can sideload it. You can put it up in the app catalog. The entry point for that is, again, within Access. You click Save As, and then you click the Save As Package button, and you're presented with this dialog. We just need an app package name, and you can alternatively include the data. I'm not going to show you this because this completely is changing as of any minute. We are actually putting in some new changes that we'll be discussing tomorrow. And so the options for app packaging for that dialog will be completely changing, where you can actually do app upgrade scenarios and actually publishing to the store. So please make sure you go to that session tomorrow. There's a lot of good information that we can share with that. So what's next for Access Apps? Obviously, we've done a lot of work already. We've already implemented some features up on Office 365 Live. Because that's an HTML page within Access Client, any changes we make to that HTML page, the form definition, you don't have to install any new client bits. That's all being downloaded from the server. And one of those features that we just implemented, I think it was during the summertime, was a cascading combo box. We had a lot of customers saying, hey, well, I'd like to have one combo box depend on another. So we listened to that feedback, and we implemented that feature, and you didn't have to install anything to get that feature. It just magically showed up one day. We also have just finished submitting Access apps to the SharePoint store. We actually have some third-party people now have Access web apps and are selling them in the SharePoint store just within, I think, the last month or so. Coming soon, we have the apps for Office integration, and that's Wednesday's session. And then the app upgrade is on Tuesday's session. So in this quick hour, we've only briefly shown you one particular type of scenario in terms of story. We have our team that's tracking the assets for the team, and our team admin is using this on essentially a daily basis. But that's just one particular thing. We want to leave you with at least a taste of some other options that you can use. You can do some very powerful things with Access Web Apps. Just to reiterate, that top one that you see there, we are seeding everyone right this day in the Windows org using an Access web app into their new teams that we created. That's thousands and thousands of engineers are being seated using an Access web app that we created. So, yes, you can create very simple apps, but you can also create some very complex apps used by a lot of people. The reason they're using that is because we did the same thing for the Office org. After we shipped 2013, we used an Access web app to seat everybody in their new teams. We also have a ship readiness tracking app that's being used by some of the client teams for all the various features that they're coming online. They're using an Access web app to track that. Our LCA team is using an attorney tracking app. Our TAP program is using an Access web app for support. I know the Exchange server team is actually using Access web app to track a lot of the service issues. So as somebody gets a service request, they can actually use that Access web app to go find what they need to do in response to that. We've also used an Access web app to track training for the various trainings that our engineers are taking and feedback on those particular courses. And this last thing that we want to show you, Chris is actually going to be showing some other apps while I'm still talking up here. These three apps that we're going to show you, these are the apps that I created. I have them created for my book that I published last year. Oh, thank you. So this first one is an auctions app. Every October, Microsoft has this massive giving campaign all for charity, and one of those particular things is this very, very large auctions. It's essentially employees can bid on things that they donate, and all that money goes for charity. So this particular landing page is the first site on this. I modeled this after the existing website that they were using for this. So in this particular app, you can actually create auctions. You can bid on those. It will track the highest bid. If you try an underbid, it will prevent that using data macros. There's a lot of nice functionality within here. The second app is a full restaurant tracking app. This is a restaurant management type of scenario where they can track their employees, their purchases, their vendors, the schedules, the labor hours. So on that first page, it's kind of like a dashboard. I can see everything that's happening for the restaurant today, all the orders, the deliveries, if there's any appointments. On the employees table, I can see a lot of information about all of my employees. I can see a nice list control. And then on the bottom right, I have a related items control showing their labor hours, what positions they're trained in, what their schedules are, if they've had any termination records, what their vacations. There's a lot of full functionality within here. And that last particular scenario we'll just call out is a training tracking. This is the one that I mentioned earlier where we were actually tracking the training our engineers were taking, and we could actually give feedback. A lot of times people would take a training and they didn't quite find it valuable. This was a way to actually give some feedback for that. So this was just to give you a quick test and a showcase of some of the other apps, because in 1 hour we can really only show you maybe end-to-end one particular one that's actually.
And so after that just simple 1 hour and actually how little time we actually spend on just developing the app for admin, you could see how quickly you'd be able to take an app, develop for an admin, and just start using it. It's just that simple. Now to review a few things, hopefully by now you guys have all seen the power of Access and how you can simply be able to take an Access app and be able to get started with Access 2013 and Access services. And just how end users, it's just that simple. They can create an Access app. And these are centrally managed by IT. They inherit all the permissions from SharePoint. So in the end, you get the Access web apps, which gives the end users the experience they want, and it still keeps IT in control, so it keeps them happy as well. And so we know that you guys probably have a lot of questions and want more information, and so we do have 3 other sessions that will at least talk some about Access. The update on InfoPath, which I'm sure a lot of you are very interested in, there'll be some mention of Access there, so it'd be a very great idea to attend. Also, Tuesday at 5 p.m., we're going to have a how-to of how to take Access apps that you've built and how to be able to put them up in the SharePoint store and be able to sell them, make money off them. In addition, the apps for Office, we're going to have a session at 5 o'clock on Wednesday about how you can be able to take those apps for Office and be able to integrate them into Access apps to expand the functionality. And one other point about if you want some great information on Access apps, Jeff's book that he wrote, The Inside Out Access 2013, has over 600 pages, and from me myself, it's extremely useful for even the features that I forget about. I can easily be able to look, and it's a great book.
Thanks, Chris. That book, I will call out, I sought out all the program managers, the developers, and testers, so they all contributed to this, so there's more tips and tricks from the actual people that designed the app, created it, tested it. There's a lot of great tricks within my book there. So what I do want to call out is, first, a big thank you to Chris. This is his first time giving presentations, so did a good job. Also want to call out, we're going to have a question and answer session, but please make sure you fill out the evaluations. It's very valuable to us to actually, as a learning process, what can we improve on the presentations as well as the demos, what you want to see, so please fill those out. We're going to stick around till about 3:15 for questions. If you have any questions, feel free to make your way up to the mic. We want to make sure that we answer as much as we can, but until we get kicked out, we'll move out to there if we have more questions. We also have a specific Access booth in the exhibit hall. Members of our team will be actually there round the clock answering questions. So feel free to ask questions. The first person asking a question gets a free copy of the book. Yes. The people picker Palazzo, is definitely a scenario that we're looking at. That's not something that we have right at the moment, but it is something that we are looking at for
through H.
A potential thing as far as the game, because the people picker gives you a lot of other functionality that you can have, you know, presence and that type of thing. I want to give it a hint since he was standing in line first there.
Yes. Okay.
What was your? They are essentially type of an ASP.form, but it's essentially you can. I believe you can, but well, not import. I don't think you can import it because it's actually an object within a record. The mic's on. Okay, so. If you have other questions, can we make our way so that that way?
Have to create the new database.
No, you could just import the data from the old database.
But it would have
no.
To
answer that question, no. You cannot reuse that form elsewhere outside the app.
I had a question.
They didn't have the microphone on.
Database that it's using for that app.
Well, so can external users use the app as long as they have permissions to the site? Where the apps are hosted, they should be able to use any access apps under that site. As long as they can use this, we actually have, and I think we'll probably show it in some of the other demos the next couple of days, you can actually use an access web app in the public site of Office 365, and so you don't need any licensing for there. It'll be read-only because it's an anonymous access type of scenario there. Great question. This question was about, is everything that I was showing here about Office 365 or is it on-prem? Absolutely everything that you saw today is the same on-prem and Office 365. The nice thing about Office 365, you're probably going to get updates faster on Office 365. So that cascading combo box feature, which we didn't show but I just mentioned, that's currently only on Office 365 right now because we rev that and push it out to the service. That's not on-prem right now. But everything else that we showed you, that's completely on-prem. Access Services is just a service that's built on top of SharePoint 2013.
Is that something that there are some best practices for that in 2020? Or is this on completion in between?
All of these features are brand new for SharePoint 2013. None of this would work with SharePoint 2010. That's a good question.
Just the views for that are existing.
So as far as upgrade for Office client? Yeah. Okay. So for as far as the upgrade story, you first have to have Access 2013. You have to have SharePoint 2013 or Office 365. If you're coming from an older version, then all that features don't exist, and so once you have that particular thing, if you want to use Access Web Apps, you have to have Office 2013, essentially Access 2013.
So it's not there's no conditional for okay. You can be able to do some based on macros, based on after update macro.
So if you're upgrading just the SharePoint part and you haven't updated Office so far, it's a good question. I would think everything should at least continue to work. Because all those HTML page type stuff, that's just being downloaded from the server. I believe all that should still function. I don't think you'll have to update your client bits unless it needs it. For example, the session tomorrow where we're talking about app upgrade and the dialogue to actually package up an app, that required client changes because it's all within the client UI. So for that feature, you do need updates. It should all work, that N-1, I think, is what you're going for type of thing. So, question on SharePoint workflows. Can you trigger a SharePoint workflow? The Office Reorg app, there's a similar type of app that we used internally for actually seeding our individual team into their offices. So there was a HTML page that had the building layout and the rooms. We created an app for Office for that. This was kind of our first app for Office test internally. We had a map of the building. We don't have the ability to send email currently from Access 2013 web apps. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to write data to a SharePoint list, which would kick off a workflow to send email. So we created an app for Office, which just called the SharePoint UI update list. So when that person selected their office, we just had an event go write data to the SharePoint list, and then that kicked off a SharePoint workflow. No, I don't, because at the time I wrote the book, that functionality wasn't completely in place for Apps for Office. So all this new functionality with Apps for Office and Upgrade, this is brand new stuff that's just rolling out. So I don't cover that. But as long as you can write an app for Office that will take data from here and just write it back to the SharePoint list, it opens up a lot of other possibilities for external data as well as workflows. Nope. So if I have Office 365, and for me personally, I actually have my own Office 365. I have my public website on Office 365. Whenever I'm creating an Access web app in there, Microsoft's picking up the bill to actually create that SQL Azure. I don't have to pay more. Are there any limits on data size? We've done tests internally with millions of records. Well, as far as the actual data size itself, there is a 1 gig limit on the SQL Azure database. Now, that is a hard limit from SQL that SQL has given us. We would love to be able to actually bump that up, or if you cross that, maybe you could just pay for more. But currently, right now, it is a 1 gig limit on Office 365. If you're on-prem, I don't think there is any limit, because it's essentially what your admins are okay with, and they can provide more space. But on Office 365, it is a 1 gig limit as far as the SQL storage. So if you are storing images, a lot of data, that type of thing, yeah, the size is going to be more. But just raw data, you should be able to have a lot in there. How's the response? We do not have the column or field permissions. Now you can enable some hiding of them, but no real permissions. As far as the design experience or the runtime on a phone for Access? So you can do some stuff like that with hide the control. You're going to see it exactly like that, unfortunately. And so mobile is definitely something that we are looking at right now. I would say our mobile runtime story it's going to be not great, because it's going to be really small. There's going to be a lot of pinching and zooming. But it is something we are actively looking at as far as making that runtime experience better, that our mobile views could snap to a mobile view much better, as well as the design experience. I don't know if I want to design it on the phone, but because you have to remember that the design has to have Access. So can't have Access client on the phone, but you could certainly have it on a Surface, and you could actually design it. The touch would be a little bit more difficult depending upon what specifically you're trying to do. But you should be able to design it easily on a Surface, and I know some of our people have been doing that. Minimum licensing requirements for Office 365 to have this, I think it's in almost all of the SKUs, Access Services. So just search for Access Services, and I think there's some charts where it's like, it's in almost all of them, I think, all the SKUs, which is great for us. Well, for external users, can you define external users? As part of Office, you can invite people, and they can use that. I know in the UK, there's a user group for Access, and they've built their entire website using an Access web app. And so if you can hit this, because it's anonymous, you can't actually edit any data, but he has an entry point for login where he can then prompt you for a specific username and password, and then you can get in there. So in that case, it could be used by just about anybody. But in the anonymous case, it's only going to be read-only. You won't be able to even run data macros, because those are data operations. So if you had that. As long as you can link to that SharePoint list, you can surface that data within an Access web app. It's going to be read-only currently. You can't write back, but I could use it in a lookup. I could actually have, I don't think he showed it, but there's actually two views that we created for that employees list that he linked to. You could probably do it in a web browser control that's actually displaying that. So you could actually have a view that the entire view is a blank view that just has one gigantic web browser control. That is a possibility. You could do that. We should probably kick out because we have our next people. Yes. That is a specific scenario that we're looking at, and I think that might be touched upon in the InfoPath type one. I really think you might want to go there because there's going to be some access stuff. I don't know how much it's going to be shown. I don't know if I can talk about it until Tuesday, but there's going to be some interesting stuff. But the contact list one is a real important scenario that we've heard from our MVPs and other professionals. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. You know, here's my information. I actually need some contact information. So I'm going to move out into the hallway to answer more questions if you want, but we got to make sure these people actually have some space. So thanks for your time. We'll move out there.